the Well-Rounded Geek podcast, episode 13. With me in the studio today is David Ritchie for another Stoner and the Scholar sports show, where we talk about the latest in sports news, give our opinions or hot takes on sports topics. What's up, man?
What's going on, man? Glad to be back.
I feel like we were meeting frequent. We had a little bit of a gap here.
Yeah, this is a couple weeks.
Yeah, so we have a lot of stuff to go over today.
But it's a good one. There's some juicy stuff.
Yeah, there is. We're going to go over the Pistons Summer League. We're going to talk about the Pistons schedule that got announced. We're going to talk about Jalen Green's recent, the tweets that came out about Jalen Green. We're going to talk about NBA free agency. And then we're going to finish the show with UFC like we have before. And then also briefly talk about some wrestling stuff. So first, let's start off with the Pistons Summer League. What were your thoughts and opinions of the Summer League games that you did watch?
I watched the first two when Kate was playing. The standouts for me is I don't expect much from it. And I didn't even expect to like see him go out there and like be crazy spectacular or anything, you know? The number one standout to me, though, was Luke Garza, man.
He was balling. He earned a roster spot.
Yeah, without a doubt. He was playing his heart out there, man, for a spot. You could tell. It really meant something to him. I'm excited to have a guy like that because you know that he's going to grind and earn that, man.
Yeah, and he had a chip on his shoulder for sure. Yeah. You know, and
he went late. Like he went late he for being Big Ten Player of the Year, you know?
Right. And they were saying,
you know, Iowa was good.
He trimmed down to get quicker for the NBA level.
And you could tell he looked different.
He was moving, you know.
Yeah.
And he had a motor. He was trying like the hardest for sure on the floor.
He was like another like, so if Isaiah Stewart's the starting center and he's the heart of that starting five, just with the energy and the rebounding defense, you have something similar in that coming right behind him. With just the energy that's going to be put out.
Yeah.
That's kind of like leadership from somebody who plays like that. Because it just shows in what he's putting out there. He doesn't even really have to say anything. He's doing it all with his, by playing how hard he's playing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that was really impressive to see.
It's the typical Detroit mindset, which I'm here for. And the dude can shoot, bro. Like he can shoot the rock.
And that's what you want in today's game, a big guy like that who can stretch the floor. Now, you know, obviously he's got stuff to improve on and hopefully he does. And we'll give him the time to do that.
Yeah. So that was the biggest surprise for me. I would say we can go through some other things with the team. I obviously wasn't expecting much because we didn't have much talent in Summer League on that team. You know, we've talked about it. We only had like four players that might even make the roster.
That seems super limited.
So
man.
Let's go with the elephant in the room. First of all, let's talk about Cade. What were your opinions of Cade?
He looked like he's going to be great, man.
Yeah.
He just looks like he gets it. You know what I mean? Like he's out there making the right plays. And even with what he says, you know, in the interviews, it reflects when he plays. You know, he wants to be a good teammate. He wants to get everybody involved. He wants to win. And that's truly what he cares about. It doesn't look like he's really looking to do anything else but help the Detroit Pistons win ball games for years to come. You know what I'm saying? And that's so great. So refreshing to have that here. And, you know, just that like that one summer league game where he went out and he made 7 threes and he had 20 something points that game. It just shows you a little glimpse of what's to come with the player.
Yeah. The biggest thing for me was it proves that he's going to be good.
Yes.
How good is he going to be? We don't know, but it proves he's not going to be bad.
Yeah.
I mean, the dude is carrying himself well. What surprised me the most, I knew he had an opportunity to have a defensive mindset coming into the NBA because of his length.
Yeah.
But he was locking down people he was defending.
And even, he spoke on that. Like, if you're going to be, you know, a ball player, you got to play both sides. And that's something you want to hear coming from your, you know, starting point guard. That team is going to play defense. It's a defensive-minded team, although, you know, with the Isaiah Stewarts and even Killian Hayes looking good on defense, Jeremiah Grant, a good defensive player, that's going to be a strong point for the Pistons, I think, for the years to come.
Yeah, I think so, too, and we can use that to talk about Killian Hayes, too, now. Mm-hmm. He surprised me defensively in summer league. He still doesn't have the confidence that you would like to see from him shooting-wise, you know? But he's still young.
And because the struggles are there.
They are. He was locking down defenders, though.
That's beautiful.
Or locking down on defense, I mean.
Yeah. So there's progress being made. I'm not worried. I don't worry about Killian Hayes being able to develop a jump shot. I think it's the confidence may be lacking, but I think the ability is 100% there.
Yeah, me too.
And, you know, you get that confidence instilled in him, which I think you can do. I think that with more time still, because remember, he didn't even play a full season last year. And then when he came back from that hip injury that he had, he had some flashes there, and he even had that one game where he scored, 20 or 22 points or something like that. I don't remember the exact stats, but I think that there'll be some good things coming from him.
Yeah, I think the biggest concern, if I had to pick a concern, it was seeing him and Cade on the floor at the same time.
Yeah.
Because they were playing Cade weird. I think they were just testing the waters, you know, because they were playing Cade as a stand-up shooter at times, and you could tell he's way more comfortable with the ball in his hand.
Yes, he's got to be facilitating the offense, I think.
Yes, something's got to change there, and I was excited to have them both on the floor at the same time, but you can tell that it's going to take some time for it to work.
To mesh how it needs to.
Yeah, because Killian wants the ball in his hands. You know,
I think he's better with it in his hands, too. Mm-hmm. You know, neither of those guys seem that they're, you know, running around trying to get off picks and pick and rolls and stuff for jump shots.
Right.
It doesn't seem like their game, you know? Yeah. That's like what Klay Thompson does, you know, because he's just a freaking lights out bona fide shooting guard. And you can do that. It just doesn't. Killian and Cade aren't that, you know?
Yeah, and it's just going to take them some time to grow with one another. But Cade, like, was saying all the right stuff. He was saying he wants to be out there with Killian. He wants just all the things you want to hear from your first overall draft pick.
Absolutely.
I would say
there's a maturity level there with Cade Cunningham.
Man. Yeah, and I would say I saw growth with Sadiq Bey. He looked like he didn't belong in summer league. He looked like way older than everyone, even though he's not.
I thought that like midway through the first game, I'm like, all right, see, Bey doesn't even need to be out here.
Why is he even out there?
Is it just like to give us Pistons fans a little like thirst trap? Like, here's a little bit of Cade and Bey and what you know is to come.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really going to be great when you go out there opening night and see Stewart out there and Grant and those guys, you know?
Yeah, Bey.
All together.
Bey definitely improved in some areas, though. I mean, he looked like he's been working on his handles for sure. He beefed up. The dude looks jacked.
Yeah, he's tank. He's a tank now.
Yeah. So I'm excited for that.
And I don't know if you noticed this, but it seemed like he had great confidence shooting the ball. Like, he was not scared to take shots out there.
That's how he even was last
year. Not to say
year.
That he ever was.
Right.
But still, second-year player going out there looking like the leader of the team, really.
For sure.
In summer league.
He was the best player on the court almost at all times. That's why it was weird, because he's still super young and he looks so old compared to everyone.
With all that, and considering what he did last year for his rookie season, putting up was it like the most threes in a rookie season or something like that? I think that's what it was.
Something. He was killing it, dude.
That's promising to see going forward.
Yeah.
I'm really excited.
Yeah, me
for the years to come, man.
The only thing that was a low point for me, outside of just not having the depth on our summer league team, like we only went 3-2, I think. We lost some games that we should have won.
We lost the first two.
Yeah.
At least.
So, but that wasn't as concerning to me as just seeing how lost Sekou still looks. He just looks like he just doesn't belong. He doesn't even belong in those summer league games. And it's so hard to be so critical of someone that's still quite young.
So young still.
but he doesn't have flashes of things. Like Killian Hayes, like you just said, you're not worried, right? Because he's young, but it's because he shows you glimpses of things.
Right.
Sekou doesn't, he has some defensive moments, but he doesn't show you glimpses.
There hasn't
of
been
anything.
Like any consistent glimpses, right?
No.
Like, and it's been a few years now. Like this is year 4 or 3.
I've lost track at this point. So I think 3.
Okay. And he's not, wasn't really.
He's not contributing.
Yeah, and he wasn't.
And he might not even make the team now at this point.
Yeah, and it looks like, I showed you that, or sent you that post earlier that said something about them maybe looking to get off of him.
I don't put it past them, honestly, because he doesn't look like he knows what he's really being utilized for. He looks sad in some of those interviews. And yeah. He's not making the progress that you would want to see with a first-round draft pick. And we've said it probably on this show before, but the NBA is just a whole different beast. You know, you can't just be athletic. You can't just be a large physical presence. You have to know the game, and you have to know it well. And he looks lost almost at all times on the floor. Like, right. He's not picking up the mental game of NBA-level basketball to me.
Yeah.
And it's concerning. And at some point, you do have to cut ties and make roster spots available for other people. And we might be witnessing that.
Yeah.
So all in all, I enjoyed the summer league. I mean, I was itching to see Cade play.
Me too.
And I think he didn't like wow me or anything, but he definitely proved that he's good. He's not going to be a bust. And when he was knocking down shots, I could just imagine how good he could be.
Right.
You know,
imagine being at Pistons games, close games, and Cade's down the wire taking over and hitting big shots.
Dude, he lets threes. Oh my God. And he's just, you can tell how long and lengthy and like lanky he is.
Yeah.
You know, he's not super like explosive athletic or anything, right. But he's just fundamentally sound.
Yeah.
You know?
And he's got good size.
Yeah. And it was cool to see. Outside of that, though, I can't wait for the season to start. They just released their schedule, and I wanted to get your thoughts on that. We went over it a little before we started the show, but it's sort of tough, at least to start the season.
The first stretch, I don't know what that was, like 10 games or something, but they play Atlanta. They play Philly twice. They play Brooklyn twice, and they play Milwaukee once.
Yeah.
And that whole stretch, jeez. That's tough to start.
It's like
around.
A murderer's row of the East. And the Pistons are, even though we just got the first overall pick, the Pistons are coming off a season where they didn't finish.
Right.
One of the
first
worst
overall
teams in the
pick
NBA.
For a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're going to struggle. It's going to be hard to keep this squad confident, but I'm still excited to even see the struggle. I'm excited to be a Detroit Pistons fan right now.
Me too, man. It's really exciting with everything we saw last year. And now what we got this year, building on all that, it's going to be fun, man.
It is. And
I can't wait to hit some games.
Rivalries are already starting to form, so that's my next topic. Jalen Green, it was between Jalen Green and Cade, basically. I mean, that's who was rumored to go to the Pistons. It was always going to be Cade, but Jalen Green was making some splash because he is very talented offensively. He had a G League stint for a year. He skipped college to go straight to the G League. He looked well. He carried it well, at least. And he was putting up like 20 points per game even in the G League, you know? So he was linked to the Pistons. He wanted to go first overall. We chose Cade. And you can tell he's got some salt. Because initially, before the draft, he was making it seem like he wanted to go to Detroit. But now we're finding out that he said some things like he actually never wanted to go to Detroit.
Yeah, there's not much to do here.
Yeah, it reminds him of
being in the G League.
Being in the G League
bubble.
Because
you just kind of work and then you go home because there's nothing to do here.
So little does he know, though, he lit a fire because Detroit sports fans don't take kindly to that stuff. Like, how mad did that make you?
Yeah, I didn't, you know. We don't like it, man.
I'm so mad.
We know that there's plenty to do here. And it's funny, too, because there was a quote from him saying before the draft that he wanted to live in Detroit.
Yeah, he's a
said that word for word. So it's like, come on, man. Like, what are you even talking about?
You could tell he just wanted to be the first overall pick.
And I'm glad that it kind of just cements that we took the right guy.
We made the right choice.
The guy who just wants to come in and work and do the right thing, and he's saying the right things. He's not putting his ego.
Yeah.
Is not getting in the way. There was another report saying that Jalen Green came out and said that he wants to win Rookie of the Year. Like, not that they're trying, not that he wants to get to the playoffs or he wants to do this, but he wants to win Rookie of the Year. It's like, you know, where's the mindset at with that?
Yeah.
Is that more of a,
it's more of a selfish
me type thing mm-hmm. than, and all you're hearing from Cade is that he just wants to win games, contribute to win games, man.
Yeah. And they keep saying, I like this. They're not in a rebuild. They're restoring,
yeah.
which is dope.
Yeah.
I love hearing that.
Right.
That's how it feels, right? It's
just
like
bringing that heartbeat back to the Detroit Pistons.
Yeah, restoring the right way.
History tells it, man. There's a lot of the same teams that win in the NBA over decades, you know? And the Pistons have been that team that's got three championships out of all these other teams that have won it so many other times and franchises that have been so great for so long. But we've been good too, and we were good for a long time even after winning championships. And it's about time that the Detroit Pistons have something to talk about and be happy about and excited about, them and us as fans, dude.
Yeah, and don't you feel like the team that we've witnessed...
I love that this is happening when we're old enough to appreciate
yeah.
and actually value this and understand the game yeah. and stuff, you know?
Well, the team that the majority of my 20s, even my teenage years, after we won that championship and then went, you know, back-to-back and almost won back-to-back, it didn't embody, like, the heart of a Detroit team. You know, none of those teams did ever since. But now right. it seems like we're building something that's embodying being a Michigander, being from Detroit, you know, hardworking.
It's picking the right guys who had the right mentality that go, I don't care where I go. I don't care who picks me, because whoever does is going to get a guy that's going to work their butt off. And that's what we've gotten. The Isaiah Stewarts, the Saban Lees, the Sadiq Bays, even still a young Jeremiah Grant was something to prove, you know, coming
and
to Detroit.
And he wanted to come here.
Picking
yeah.
to come here over the Denver team. We talked about that before. Was in the conference finals the year prior and chose to come here for the same amount of money because he has something to prove. And then even with Cade Cunningham, getting guys that are just about the right things, man. They're made of the right stuff. High character dudes that you want. That when you have that base, it kind of helps everything else
yeah.
kind of grow and mold together.
They're building
organically the
culture,
way
dude.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, I know. I
talking about it gets me so excited, dude.
I want to fast forward to the season and stuff. I don't want to fast forward to see how expensive and marked up the
Sheesh.
Tickets are now that I've seen
what
the
Red Wings damage,
got marked
yeah,
up to.
Yeah.
But
it's going to be ugly.
We definitely have to go to the Lakers. We've talked about it. We have
yeah.
to see LeBron.
That'll happen. That'll happen because not only will we get to see LeBron, now we'll get to see Russell Westbrook. We'll get
yeah.
to see Anthony Davis. I've never seen either of those two guys play.
So now we can lead into the next topic, the NBA free agency. A lot of things, you know, went down since we last spoke. We did briefly speak about Westbrook going to the Lakers when we were talking on draft night.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't dive into it too deeply, but...
I don't think we knew
the full extent of it.
Yeah, I don't think
yeah.
we knew the exact details of what got moved.
Yeah, so now we do. They moved Kuzma, Montrezl Harrell...
KCP. And one pick?
I don't remember the
first rounder.
They, like, swapped picks, though,
because
they got something in return.
Okay.
But
yeah, all that, and I think that was it. And Lakers got Westbrook and whatever swapped pick was.
And I think that was a good move by them. I mean, they don't have the depth. I mean, so here's the thing. That initial move, they didn't have the depth.
Mm-hmm.
But what the Lakers have done in free agency was signing Carmelo,
yeah.
Signing Dwight again, They
got Kendrick Nunn coming off the bench at the point guard position.
They somehow did some voodoo magic.
They're talking about signing Isaiah Thomas.
They have some depth.
Yeah.
And I don't think they lost any pivotal pieces. I mean, I was sad to see Caruso leave. I think Caruso wanted to stay, but he couldn't turn down that bag that he got thrown his way.
You'd be foolish to. Right. And he's going to go play in Chicago with a fun team now.
Yeah.
We'll touch on that in a second.
Yeah, so the Lakers,
they're going to look, they're looking like they may be fun out there.
We're going to always sound like Lakers slappies, but I just
we're LeBron fans, yeah, though. That's LeBron what it fans. Is.
That's what it is. And I like what the Lakers are doing. They just have to stay healthy, though. But let's talk about the Bulls. So the Bulls acquired Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo Ball. Well, signed Lonzo Ball. Yeah. Acquired DeRozan in a trade.
Yep.
Obviously signed Caruso. Still have Zach LaVine. I think still have Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah.
They're
a young squad, and yeah. Like, they're building something. I'm just, I don't know. What do you think about that?
I like it, man. I like Lonzo Ball. I like Zach LaVine. I think it's going to be high paced. I think it's going to be what I envisioned New Orleans being, but actually being just a run and go, run up and down, and just they're going to kill you with how fast they get up and down the court and what all those players can do. They can all shoot decent. They can all get to the rim. I think that's going to be a fun team to watch.
I think so, too. And I'm just excited to see Lonzo thrive.
Me too, man. I like him a lot.
I feel bad for him because he had all this immense pressure, and now his brother's come into the league, and
he's
been
killing it. Yeah.
Like, looking even better than him. But right. I think Lonzo's just not been in the right situation. You know what I mean? So now we're about to see. This is a much better situation than he had with the Lakers and a much better situation than he had with the Pelicans.
Yeah.
So
I thought the Pelicans were going to be something crazy because they had him, B.I., they got Williamson, Josh Hart was coming off the bench. I thought they were going to be that run and gun, but I don't know. Who knows what happened there? Stan Van Gundy happened there is what happened.
It is.
Because he ruins everything.
But they're going to be an exciting team.
It's
going
to be fun to watch, though.
To watch. The other big news, we have a couple other free agency moves. The biggest thing that pops out at me was Dennis Schroeder. He had, like, no offers. And in the middle of the year, the Lakers threw him a bag.
A bag. Like, 25 a year, I think.
Yeah, and he turned it down.
He turned it down because my man thought he was going to get more in free agency.
And he didn't get any offers, and then he ended up getting a one-year offer.
A one-year five. He didn't even make six. He's not even going to make $6 million next year.
That's so bad.
Fumbling the bag.
So bad. And now
that's the ultimate bag fumble.
He's going to have to prove himself even more now with the Celtics to even get anywhere near the amount of money that he was getting offered.
He should, if you turn down 25 a year, then you got to think you're worth $30 million a year or more than that. You know, he didn't play like a $30 million a year player.
He didn't play like a 20.
We thought Schroeder was going to be a really nice asset for that team.
He didn't end up.
And he did not.
He dwarfed in moments that you needed him, but he's really, like, athletic and stuff, but, dude, even when the Lakers sent him that offer, I was like, dang.
Right.
Like, they're almost lucky that he overconfident, dude, yeah. Because they wouldn't have been able to do any of some of the stuff that they've been able to do this free agency, so.
Everything worked out for a reason.
He ended up, that is like.
He played himself.
Yeah. If you want to know what not himself. To do.
That's it.
It was that.
Yeah.
So, the other news, Kawhi ended up staying with
Kawhi resigned
the Clippers, which you and I didn't think was going to actually happen, but who knows? It's probably because he got injured too that he lost some confidence in moving around at this
point.
Get
some security, and honestly, I think the rumor the whole time after Toronto, and even I think before he got actually traded to Toronto, was that he wanted to be in LA.
Yeah.
He almost signed with the Lakers, and he was like, nah, I'm going to try and do it my own with the Clippers, which is commendable and, you know, was realistic because he just did it the year before with the Raptors. That year before with the Raptors was like, oh man, Kawhi Leonard is being talked about as top three greatest in the world.
Yeah.
And then kind of just a weird decline after that.
Yeah.
But injuries are crazy, and especially with a guy like that who doesn't talk a lot about what injuries may be going on, you know? Just, it's just weird. And to think that he wasn't coming back, though, was because they were doing great without him in the playoffs. That looked like they were going to get farther without him.
That weirded me out, too. You know,
they did get farther without him.
I thought they were screwed.
Than the year previous.
And they look good.
They made it to the Western Conference Finals for the first time.
George looked much better without Kawhi.
He was playoff P for real. Mm-hmm. He was balling.
Yeah, that's such a
weird. Reggie Jackson was balling. They were playing good.
That's a weird situation, man. Like the Clippers.
What do you do? I don't know.
Because they're not going to compete with that LA team.
Do you think that all this time he's missed, he comes back, he's fully healthy?
No.
They must.
It's just,
or they
typical.
Must be hoping. I don't know.
It's typical Clippers. You know what I'm saying? Like they're always going to play second fiddle to the Lakers, and it's it's always going to be like.
I don't
that.
See them winning a championship.
No, not now.
No,
no, not what freaking LA's or the Lakers are pulling out.
Unless they pulled off some crazy something and got like a Brad Beal or something to even put them in contention with that. I don't think it's going to happen, though, man.
No.
I don't see a chance where they...
Me neither. And I hate home. That I keep discrediting the Bucks because they totally just won a championship, but I would say if teams stay healthy next year, it's going to be Lakers-Nets in the finals, and that will be crazy.
It's hard not to think that, though, with what you saw, because the Bucks and the Nets went seven games, and Kyrie and Harden... Harden was kind of a decoy-ish.
No one was 100%.
Right. And we talked about it before. If Kevin Durant didn't wear a size 3700 in his shoe size and that three-pointer, they would have won.
Yeah,
he
exactly.
Nailed. He hit a game-winning shot. It just so happened that his toe was on a line. And, you know, that's just how the cookie crumbles sometimes.
But Bucks,
I agree with you.
The Bucks are great, and I'm not trying to discredit them. The whole time through the playoffs, I thought they were the best team. I thought they were going to win a championship, and they ended up winning a championship. But when I just think of those squads,
and they
the
were
Lakers,
so dominant in the finals.
They were.
It was.
And Giannis was incredible.
It was amazing.
But I just know that, you know, if the Nets are healthy.
I agree.
And they play well. And the Lakers team that we're watching get assembled now plays well. They're going to be in the finals.
You can't argue that because, and even with the Lakers last year, like it looked like they were going to beat Phoenix and then
injuries
happen, man. And
yes. So the other thing with free agency was Chris Paul ended up staying in Phoenix. I thought maybe he would leave. Maybe he ended up staying. So
it was, so for a second I thought, man, is he going to leave again? Because he didn't opt into that crazy, his opt in was like $46 million or something like that. I'm thinking in my mind, holy crap, man, I don't care that you just went to the finals for the first time. You're getting up there in age. How about one, you secure that bag and then you secure some security with the team that you just, you know, made a nice run with. When he opted out, I'm like, that's weird. Is he really going to try and go somewhere else? Like, then there was whispers, oh, he might go to the Lakers, and oh, I'm all for that. I would have loved that, honestly.
Me too.
But it goes back to the Suns, and that's cool. I like that fit. I like him there. See what they can do second time around. I don't know. Like you said, with all, if teams are healthy and stuff, I don't know where they...
They're still a really good young team. They just don't have... They don't have the superstars that some of these... I don't even think that they have...
It's hard to get past those three-headed monsters when they're healthy, dude.
Yes. So... We'll see how that unfolds. The NBA season is going to be fun to talk about once it starts up, you know, again.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to end up starting to transition to some football and some college football once that starts rolling out. So we'll talk about that. But to end the show, I do want to talk about some of the UFC events, the one that just happened, as well as what's upcoming. So we just watched UFC 265. It was Lewis versus Gane. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that fight card in general. what you think of the heavyweight division going forward. So let's start with just some of the lower of the main card. So Michael Chiesa
and Vicente Luque.
Yes. That was an like upset that I didn't see coming. I don't remember where the rankings were, but when Chiesa took him down, you know, usually when Chiesa takes people down, he's good at submitting people and stuff, but he ended up getting submitted.
He got submitted by Vicente, dude, man.
Every time he's started to
have a little bit of a push.
Yes.
Because I've heard that.
And he's been trying to climb the ladder, you know, and in those moments where he's going to take the next step, he's lost.
And I believe he was the favorite in that fight. But Vicente's on a winning streak.
He looked good.
And he called out Usman, didn't he?
I'm not sure.
I think he did.
He looked good. Maybe
he called out somebody else.
I feel bad for Chiesa. He's going to have to make a comeback now. He's going to have to re-hop on the, you know.
Yeah, he's going to have to get some wins. And
It's unfortunate because he was dominating that fight for a second there and then he ended up getting submitted. So the other fight I wanted to talk about before we talk about the main was Aldo versus Munoz.
Munoz, I think. Munoz. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to watch that fight.
That was a good fight. I think the best thing for Aldo is just to show that he can still compete with some of these people and he can still be in wars. He looked good. I mean,
it's and he Aldo. Won. He won.
It's good for the UFC to have Aldo
still
being competitive, you know? So who knows what's next for him.
That's what I was just going to throw in real quick. Is there title shots in Aldo's future? Is he still at that point? No, like, what probably do you think?
No.
What does the UFC think, you know?
Well, he just fought. He went up in weight class and ended up fighting for the title last fight, didn't he? I don't remember. I don't know. He lost, though. And
yeah, he fought...
He won't be...
Didn't he fight Jan? Didn't him and Jan fight for a belt?
Yes.
The bantamweight.
And he got dominated. But it was good to see him come back and look good. The main event was Lewis versus Gon. That fight ended up being terrible.
Really bad, man. And you predicted it. Derek Lewis is just a knockout artist.
Yeah, he's not a mixed martial artist.
No. He just lights out if you get caught, you know? Mm-hmm. Cyril Gane was just the better fighter, man. Better all-around fighter. And it's going to be really interesting to see him fight Ngannou now. I think it's going to be a really nice fight, especially with the way Francis looked last fight against Stipe, looking like he elevated his game a little bit. For these two freaking gladiators to be squaring off, the heavyweight fights for some reason in the UFC hit different. Like, they get me a little bit more excited.
Yeah,
they get me a little bit more amped up.
Yeah.
Even, like, over, like, the big name guys, like the Diaz's and the Conor McGregor, stuff like that. I want to see those freaking gladiators go at it, dude. Your testosterone,
like, flowing, dude. And then if you think of Ngannou versus Gon,
mm-hmm.
they're, like, the peak physical specimens of that division, and now they're both like very well rounded.
Yeah,
and it's gonna be crazy.
It's gonna be
hype. I hope it doesn't end up being one of those where they're apprehensive because they're both so beastly.
I was literally just gonna say, dude, hopefully it's not one of those big fights that you look at on paper and you have all these expectations and you get to it and they're both like, nah, we're not trying to trade here.
Yeah, they're scared of one another making a mistake. Right. But I don't know. Francis Ngannou, he's just such a beast. And the way he was handled and the fact that there's even an interim belt makes no sense to me. We talked about it. It's terrible the way they handle some of this stuff.
I don't like the interim belts for anything, really, man. Except for when like a champ has to drop or something.
Right.
And there's an interim. You know, you give an interim to a guy until you schedule a fight for the real deal.
Right. And I was going to say, I am still like a proponent for if there's a clear, concise reason to have that interim belt.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
If it's like a last resort, but it seemed like with this heavyweight fight, they just threw it out there.
They did. It's like, we're going to Francis doesn't want to fight. Yeah, he wants to fight John Jones.
They punished him. Yeah.
Right. So it's like, all right, we're just gonna put together the next two big guys in the division and throw an interim belt on it so that the only fight going forward from there is a Francis versus Lewis or Gon. Now it's Francis Gon. That's the only way. Francis, I don't see Francis fighting anybody else next before Cyril Gon.
I'm trying to think, has Derek Lewis fought for the belt now three times?
I don't know. You would know better than
so
me, bro.
He fought Daniel Cormier.
Lost.
He fought.
Dang, he's got some chances then, huh?
Maybe it was only twice.
He never fought Stipe, did he?
No. So, okay, twice, but still, chances to where you never would assume that he should be. And every time that he's been in that situation, he just looks like he doesn't belong.
He gets outclassed.
So bad.
Yeah.
It's that whole fight card, in my opinion, was just disappointing. It was so boring. Do you agree? I didn't like that fight card.
The reason I didn't watch the whole Aldo Muniz is just because I wasn't totally dialed in on it.
Yeah.
There's some cards I'm like, I'm watching every second of every, you know, all five fights on the main. Then there's cards that I'm just like, nah, it doesn't really excite me. And that may be just because I'm still kind of fresh to the UFC. And it's like the stuff that I look at and am really focused in on is the cards where there's a bunch of names that I've heard or know a little bit about, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm still learning a lot about, there's a ton of these guys in the fight game.
Yeah, and a ton of up-and-comers.
Yeah, there's a ton that have come over these since we've been doing the pod, and it's like, oh, I've never seen that guy fight ever.
Yeah. That card just in general was bad, though.
Yeah, it wasn't very exciting, man.
I'm excited for some of the stuff that's up-and-coming, so we'll talk about that. There is a fight night coming up September 4th. I didn't even know this. Did you know that Derek Brunson was going to fight Darren Till on the 4th of September?
No. I didn't know it was that quick.
Yeah, I feel like that was...
And I didn't know that was a fight night.
I don't like Derek Brunson, but I want to see Darren Till again. I mean, Dana White was talking about how they envisioned him to be a champ, a superstar, but they feel like they pushed him a little bit too fast.
Yeah.
And they did. I mean, he...
He got starched a few times by some guys,
he's
right?
He's super talented, though.
Yeah.
Like, he totally could be, and he's still, like, we talk about Killian Hayes developing, and you're not concerned. I'm not concerned about Darren Till.
He's still relatively young?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. He's very arrogant and cocky.
Yeah, he is.
In a way that...
Well, that's what could make him a superstar once he gets to that level of...
He's good at talking, but he needs to be, and I think he has been humbled a little bit with... Yeah. His work ethic and, you know.
A couple losses to some top guys. He lost to Whitaker.
And that was a war.
Yeah.
You could tell it could have went either way.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He did get dominated when he faced Woodley, but it's because he just, like they said, they forced him too quickly to fight someone that
was
like
a top dog at the time.
Complete opposite of his skill set, pure wrestling, you know, background and stuff.
Made to beat him.
Yes.
Kind of.
So
just with the matchup,
I think he comes out. Derek Brunson, he's not going to beat Darren Till, in my opinion. So I'm looking forward to that fight. There's also a couple others on that card. I don't have specifics because it did just randomly get thrown out there. But I think Alexander Gustafsson is fighting on that card.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know specifically
but right.
That'll be a nice fight night.
Yeah.
The main card coming up is UFC 266. That's on September 25th. That is Volkanovski versus Ortega, Shevchenko versus Murphy, Nick Diaz versus Robbie Lawler, and Curtis Blaydes versus Rozenstruik. That card is stacked.
Yeah, that'll be a card that I sit and focus on every fight.
Yeah, Blaydes and Rozenstruik are like the heavyweights that were trying to get a push. They were stringing together some wins and looking dangerous. I mean, Blaydes was on the way for a title shot.
Was he?
Yes. And that's exciting in itself because we see how the heavyweight division is shaking out.
Right.
Diaz coming back against Lawler. It doesn't excite me because of their age and how they're in it. Diaz's inactivity and then Lawler's fall from grace, really. But it's still going to be hype. Shevchenko's fights... I get excited to see her because she's a beast.
Right.
But I have no thought of her ever losing.
It's the Nunez effect, man.
It's like,
there's nobody that can touch them
in the sense that I don't feel a threat.
Right.
But I do like to see her beast mode. You
like to see her do her thing.
Yeah.
Which is dominate their opponents. It's kind of like Nunez. It's like, all right, we're going to see Nunez put on a show, you know? Because they're just so damn dominant, man.
Yeah. Then the main event's going to be Volkanovski versus Brian Ortega. That should be a hype fight.
That'll be good, man. And they've been hyping that up with the Tough series. I don't know if you've watched any of that. I haven't caught any of the episodes. I've caught some highlights. I'm excited for that. I think it'll be good.
It should be good. Ortega, he looked, I would say, good but inexperienced when he fought for the belt against Max Holloway.
Yeah.
He's looked good ever since. He's definitely improved. He could beat Volkanovski, but I want to see Volkanovski versus Holloway
trilogy
3 because I think that Holloway won that last fight.
Right.
So I need to see that because Max is so good that I don't want, like, I can't get hyped for some of these fights when you feel like there's a true heir to the throne.
Right. When that trilogy should happen, you don't want necessarily Ortega to win and that trilogy never happens.
And
unless Volkanovski wins a rematch and then they have the trilogy with Holloway. You know?
Yeah. It's tough for me though, because I do like Ortega.
You like Ortega, and even it would be interesting because him and Holloway fought the first time for the belt, and
maybe they
Holloway
fight again.
Put it on him.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they fight
Ortega's
again.
He's a beast, and he's improved his stand up significantly, and he's really good at submissions. You know, he got picked apart on his feet against Holloway because Holloway's just so good at boxing.
He's a great boxer.
But that should still be a war, and it should be hype. It's like the John Jones effect. Like, if Holloway's not on the top, to me, he still is the best.
Right.
So when John Jones was going through his legal issues, like, I feel bad because I like Daniel Cormier, but I could never take, like, Daniel Cormier seriously or, like, other people in that light heavyweight division. I still can't because I know that John Jones is the best in the world.
He never lost it. He vacated.
You know what I mean? And I think Holloway, he had a war with Volkanovski in that first fight, and Volkanovski won.
Yes.
But I thought Holloway won that second fight. And I thought he won pretty decisively. I know it was close because of it just going to a decision, but
right.
He was beast moding.
Yeah. I think there was
so
several people who thought Holloway should have been champ that night.
Yeah. So we'll see how that division unfolds in general, but we'll be watching those fights and we'll talk to you guys about it. The final thing that I wanted to talk about before we finish the show is there's been actually some pretty exciting stuff going on with wrestling, and it's so exciting that we might occasionally start talking about wrestling and stuff because I'm totally interested in watching this stuff. David and I have bonded on the subject of wrestling. We haven't talked about it on the podcast yet, but we both grew up watching that.
Yeah.
Hardcore fans. David still kept in touch over like the last few years and such, where I've fallen off because the WWE has sort of been a mess. But the biggest news as of late, I'll
huge
get to the
news.
Point, CM Punk is back and he is going to be wrestling with AEW.
He's going to be in AEW.
That was the hypest moment.
He returned at the second showing of Rampage that they do on Friday nights now. It was in Chicago, Illinois, which is his hometown. No better time and place to do it. There had been rumors of his signing along with some other guys. And like you said earlier, we talked off air that he was, you know, he was denying stuff. He wasn't coming back. When AEW opened that night and that camera panned out and it was just the fans and all you could hear was CM Punk, and then that music drop, dude, it gave me chills. It gave me a roller coaster of emotions that I never thought that I would have felt.
Yeah, people don't understand what wrestling honestly
means
can
to
do.
People that yeah. are wrestling fans.
It triggers things like, I know it's not real fighting, But the stuff that they do is still like athletic and real, but it's the way that they can tell these stories and can strike.
There's an entertainment value.
Big time.
Along with, you know, aggressiveness of portraying fighting going on. And, you know, it gets that stigma of it's not real or it's predetermined. But when guys are going through tables and guys are jumping off top ropes and doing flips and landing on other guys, that stuff's not fake, man. You can't fake a chair shot to the back. It's all real.
And you have to be extremely athletic and talented to where you're not harming others.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's I love wrestling.
A lot of wrestling. You'll hear that in interviews, man. Wrestlers say the whole freaking point of wrestling is to not hurt who you're working with. You do things and such, and you to where you're looking out for the guy that you're working with that night or whatever storyline you're in, however many nights you'll be working with, you know, with the person.
And the best of all time were the ones that were good at protecting everyone that they went against.
Exactly.
You know, while still maintaining certain characters.
Exactly.
So I just wanted to get your quick opinion, I guess, on like the state of the WWE going forward and what you think about AEW and what the future holds with AEW, because there's been a lot of competitors to the WWE for some time. Even WCW was a huge competitor. There was like a war there.
That was like
direct. They were both thriving because of it. You know?
And that was it was different too, because that was direct competition, as in they were fighting for time slots on the same nights.
Yeah.
They were doing Monday Night Raw and WCW Nitro at the same time on the same day. So that's where the war kind of started there. To me, there doesn't feel like there's a war. It feels like AEW is creeping up, though. And just the...
For sure.
The viewership that they're getting, the fan base that they're growing, and the talent that they're acquiring. Whether it's guys who have been strangely cut from the WWE or left the WWE years ago, and that are now coming over there, along with guys who have come up through other rankings and other indie wrestling programs that are now making a name for themselves on in a company that, you know, got a big contract with TNT, is doing two nights a week, is doing pay per views. I mean, WWE, WWE is so big. I don't know that they'll ever be taken over.
Yeah, like dethroned. But it is the crazy thing but that we're witnessing.
But they're starting to feel a little... I think they're starting to feel a little heat.
They're declining a little
bit. They'll never
admit
that. Nobody from there will ever say that.
Right.
But I think that they're starting to feel it.
For sure. Because they seem like they're declining a little bit. And AEW is like growing. And like I know they're getting... an ex-WWE superstar with CM Punk, but this is someone that
moves the needle. It's just like when you get those guys, like AEW, when it started, was riding off Chris Jericho, man. He was helping pioneer and make that to be something and help it grow and help water it, you know? And you're getting guys like that. Getting these older dudes, CM Punk's getting a little, you know, he hasn't wrestled in 7 years. Been out of the WWE, been out of wrestling for 7 years. Getting up there a little bit in age. But when you got those guys coming over, man, that shoots your... Because you're getting... If you didn't know about AEW, but you know who Chris Jericho is, or you know who CM Punk is, or you know who Christian Cage is, because Christian used to wrestle in WWE, and you see that they're wrestling on this show on... TNT every Wednesday night. You may tune in now as a viewer, and you may not have followed wrestling, like you said, since a long time. Like you,
like I'm gonna tune in for sure, and we're gonna talk about this now. For
exactly,
sure.
That CM Punk signing is absolutely enormous for AEW. It was so big, man. Rollercoaster emotions. I cried when I was watching that. I'm just like, This is incredible, and I can't believe it's happening. It was kind of almost like when the Detroit Pistons got the number one pick. Like, you just can't imagine that this is actually happening. You're witnessing it, you know?
Yeah, and that's when entertainment is fully striking an emotional nerve. And that's the best part of even watching sports, watching these things. That's what I love about it all. But it's just, it's going to be interesting with the WWE because I feel like they're having a hard time developing some of the younger talent into people like CM Punk or into people like John Cena or The Undertaker. They're nowhere near as efficient as they were before.
Absolutely.
It seems like they've been trying to make Roman Reigns like the next.
They've been pushing Roman for
the
a
Rock,
long time,
the next
man.
John Cena, you know, and now yet again, he had to have a match with John Cena.
Right.
And now they bring out Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to like.
I will say that they tried to push Roman for a long time. And for a little bit there, he was not well received. He couldn't cut promos. He wasn't that guy. He couldn't do it. I personally think he's there now, though. I watch. I don't watch WWE all the time. I catch what I can. I'll catch some Raw if I can. SmackDown is the superior show right now, though, between the two. And it's because they have Roman Reigns at the helm. They have a nice storyline going on there with the whole family thing and the head of the table and him being the big dog and all that. I didn't mind the John Cena comeback. I kind of felt to me that was kind of a closing of the door with the Cena-Roman thing because they've had little spats back in the day. When they were trying to push Roman at first, and there's even clips you'll see from that back then of John Cena just cutting him up in promos, basically telling him, you're not that guy. You don't know what you're doing yet. I'm still here because you can't do what you're supposed to do.
He's a master at that. Yeah.
And I think this kind of solidified and shut the door on Roman being not taken serious. I think he can do what he's supposed to do now. With that being said, WWE has always kind of had that weird thing where they bring back old talent consistently and maybe a little bit too often. And I think it's showing now more than ever because the talent that we grew up on is all gone for the most part. You still got some of those old guys that are wrestling. You got Jeff Hardy that's still on there. Bobby Lashley's holding the title right now. But you're still seeing guys like SummerSlam, to touch on SummerSlam this past Saturday a little bit. Bobby Lashley was fighting Goldberg, man.
I know.
For the belt, and it's like
so bad.
Goldberg still
so bad. And
I thought Goldberg was old when we were watching him.
I know.
In like 2004, bro.
He looks so bad now, dude.
And the match ended weird. It ended with like a Goldberg injury, and it was just kind of like. Man, it was I told you I enjoyed that pay-per-view. I was actually very surprised at how good it was from the matches that I watched, besides a few. That one was a snoozer, bro. That one, Bobby Lashley should have been fighting somebody else.
Yeah.
Should not have been Bill Goldberg.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just WWE needs to put more time into pushing these younger guys that they have and doing whatever they have to do to make those guys or girls the names and the future. You can't have these old superstars and old wrestlers just hanging around forever, man. Mm-hmm. One, they're not going to be here forever. Two, it's going to make your product look bad, dude.
And that's what it feels like happening a little mm-hmm. bit. But we'll see what unfolds with that. I definitely look forward to talking to you a little bit more consistently about some of this stuff. And
absolutely.
We'll see what unfolds with AEW because that's hype as well.
We're going to keep our eyes on that for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
So thank you again, David, for being here. As usual, I look forward to talking to you about this stuff. And I look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Absolutely, man. Me too. It was fun. And can't wait to get back at it again.
I just want to take a quick moment to give a huge shout out to Caged Muscle Supplements. If you guys don't know, I just recently joined their innovator program and I couldn't be more excited to be associated with one of, if not in my opinion,
the best supplement companies in the world. You can head over to my Instagram page to learn more about their products as well as their culture. You can also use the link in my bio as well as my promo code JG15 to save 15% on your order. The Well-Rounded Geek.